This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Today on the TMZ Podcast. Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Jason.
Eric here.
Eric, Kelly Rowland, we got her yesterday.
We did.
She had some interesting things to say about her full-throated support of Chris Brown.
Yeah, so of course at the American Music Awards, Chris Brown won Favorite Male R&B Artist, and she accepted for him, he wasn't there, and got some boos from the audience, and she quieted down and scolded the crowd, saying, you know, just chill out. And then she said Chris was making great R&B and he was a great performer. So we got her out after some backlash against that. And she's sticking by it and sticking by Chris. And she says, grace is a very real thing. Everybody deserves a second chance. Everybody deserves grace. And we need to forgive and move on.
I agree with the principle that Kelly Rowland's setting out here, that we definitely deserve second chances. There's no sin too great to that you can never be forgiven for it, right? As long as you're sincere in your seeking of forgiveness and your apology. I'm not sure Chris Brown is really the right person for this because, yes, his biggest sin, the one that we know the most about, is the beating of Rihanna, and it was horrific.
That's what most people are still angry at him about.
Right.
And that's been almost 14 years ago.
It's almost 14 years, and in truth, Chris Brown has come out and apologized. Mm-hmm. He was convicted. He did 5 years of probation. That was a sentence passed down by the court. We can argue whether that was sufficient, but that's irrelevant.
He did his time.
He did his
paid
his price to society. And now, you know, Kelly Rowland's point and the point of Chris Brown and many others is that's a long enough period of time. We understand you never have to forgive him for that entirely, but it's time to move on and be happy for him when he wins an award and not boo people who are supporting him.
Yeah.
But.
But. You've got a but there.
I've got a but here because I did go through, and I'm not saying this from a point of view. I'm saying it from we need to not look at Chris Brown's past sins as being limited to the Rihanna.
It's not just that. For people who have an issue with him, it's bigger than that.
It's bigger than that. And for the 10 years after that, from about February of 2009, when the just before the Grammys, mm-hmm. when the Rihanna thing happened, through May of 2018, I went through and I counted up at least 12 indiscretions, some small and some large. And by the way, these don't include Chris Brown because he's a celebrity and because by his own doing, he made himself a target for a lot of people. He has been accused of many things and later fully exonerated for them. There was one woman who came forward and accused him of beating her, sexually assaulting her.
Yeah.
She was apparently they were never
together.
Yeah,
that was just, he's an easy target. It's easy to say something because you know a lot of people are inclined to believe whatever you say because he has that track record.
Right, and just to give just off the top so we can have an honest conversation, March 2011, he was invited to Good Morning America. This is one many people remember. He was to be asked about the Rihanna meeting. He didn't want to answer the questions, right. And so he threw a giant fit, had a meltdown, ended up throwing a chair out of the window of a high-rise, could have killed somebody on the ground.
Sure.
The aftermath of the broken detritus of the chair, plus the broken glass all over whatever street boulevard in New York it was, is pretty alarming. He's three times been accused of ripping a cell phone out of somebody's hand while they were trying to take a picture of him on a public street and destroying the phone. He punched. We got video of him in 2015 punching a guy during a pickup basketball game right in the face. It was not a mutual combat situation. He kind of walked up and cold clocked the guy. He's been a couple of times accused of threatening women. He's been accused of sexual assault in other cases. Other times, often these charges have been dismissed through settlement agreements. There have been civil suits filed against him. There have been criminal charges filed against him, often for violating his probation. So for each one of these things, especially the 5 years of probation he got after the Rihanna beating, he has routinely violated the probation, oftentimes by smaller stuff, non-violent stuff,
like
leaving the area, that sort of things.
But then there's also sometimes, because his name keeps popping up in the news. Remember he had an issue with his neighbors because he was putting graffiti on his house, because that's what he likes to do. And
yes.
He's just this troublemaker. Some of these are
ridiculous.
Ridiculous things.
Although he did bring upon this on himself because he made himself a target. But that's it.
But the thing is, if the Rihanna thing had never happened,
yes.
Say it didn't, and all these other things did, no one would really think a whole lot about it.
He's Justin Bieber. Yeah. Had Rihanna not happened, he's Justin Bieber.
Sort of like petulant child kind of thing.
Right.
And also, bear in mind, not that it excuses everything, but he kind of was. He was a teenager when the Rihanna thing happened.
We've seen Too Rich Too Soon.
Very, very young. And
yeah.
Does seem to be in a much better place in 2022.
So that's just it. So we've seen Too Rich Too Soon from musicians and actors and athletes forever, right? They get too much money and too much fame too early.
He was anointed as basically the second coming of Michael Jackson when he was 16, 17 years old. That's a lot.
And so he, like Bieber and many before him, act like a total jackass, which he's done. But he does have the Rihanna thing at the outset, and that sort of has colored everything that's happened since. And by his own doing, we're not going to give him a pass at all. But I think Kelly Rowland has a point at the end of the day that it's been 13 years. It's frankly been a number of years since the stuff that we're talking about now, since his other stuff. It's been 4 or 5 years since any of that bad stuff has happened. Yeah. Is it time to simply say, Chris Brown's a brilliant artist. We know what happened in the past. We never have to turn a blind eye to it. But it's time to be happy for him when he wins stuff.
Well, and there's so many artists. It is funny. It comes down to the individual. There are certainly, for some people, just beating Rihanna, that in itself is unforgivable.
Sure.
And that's very understandable. If people can never get past that, I get it.
Right.
But, you know, some people can forgive. That's the thing. It comes down to the art. Can you, and even if you don't like him, can you enjoy his music?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the art versus the artist question, because there are so many artists who are very problematic that we have no problem listening to.
Yeah.
Elvis had a huge biopic. He started dating his wife when she was 14.
Yeah.
Phil Spector, we listen to his Christmas music every year. He shot a woman in the face.
Yeah.
Like, there are lots of very, very problematic people, and we give them passes.
I completely agree. We give them passes recognizing that we're listening to the music, or in my case, I'm a huge Woody Allen fan, watching the movies in spite of it, not because we forgive him or we forgive them or whatever it is, but is there a point where it goes too far? Like, how do we feel about R. Kelly or Harvey Weinstein? Are we able to enjoy the product they make? I mean, look.
And that's up to each individual person.
Yeah. If a movie comes on that I love and I see the Weinstein Brothers logo come out at the top, I'm not going to turn it off. I want to be honest with you.
Movies that came out of that company.
Yeah, there were some great movies. He's being enriched by them, presumably. You know, as R. Kelly is, if you listen to his music, he's being enriched by this. Now, there are monetary judgments and court cases against him, so the money might actually go to the victim, so maybe you can justify it in that way. But I think ultimately it comes down, for the vast majority of people, except for those folks who are truly, you know, true to themselves and true to their word, which I give them full credit, that we just listen and watch what we like.
And the thing is, clearly the majority of people have forgiven Chris Brown because he won the whole, this all came up because he won the American Music Award for Favorite Male R&B Artist.
Yes.
The American Music Awards are not like the Grammys. This is not like a governing body deciding what's good and what isn't. This is the public. The people vote on this. And he's still very successful and very popular, and he's having hits now at more often than he did since before the beating.
Is he accepted by Michael Jackson and 100 others have been accepted by the public, not just the young folks who listen to the most music, but also older people, and also they become ubiquitously known throughout society. He's not going to reach those levels, but is he accepted outside of a core musical audience?
Absolutely. He has huge pop hits. He has R&B hits. He's got his fan base. And then he's got, every once in a while, he'll put a song out that just clicks. And because the thing is, too, and this is why it becomes, I think, complicated for some people, even if you morally have an issue with it, there's no denying Chris Brown's incredibly talented.
Yes.
He is an amazing singer. He's an amazing dancer and performer. You know, if you like his songs or not, but it's not like he's this hack that you can just be like, oh, it's easy to dismiss somebody you don't care about in the first place.
Right.
I always remember a story when Michael Jackson was going through his 2003 trial. It was around the same time the R. Kelly P tape came out.
Okay.
Michael Jackson released a song called One More Chance that nobody's ever heard of, and it flopped. R. Kelly at the same time released Ignition Remix.
Uh-huh.
And I remember seeing an interview with a radio station guy who was playing R. Kelly but not Michael Jackson. And they said, you know, in your mind, what's the difference here? Why can you defend one, not the other? And the guy says, to be honest, R. Kelly dropped a hot song and Michael didn't.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's what it comes down to.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
And we can judge our society for it, but it is what it is. We just like people who do good things. And we like successful and good music and movies.
Yeah, I think this is a question that will never go away with Chris Brown.
Let's talk about somebody else who people are trying to cancel desperately. Elon Musk. So Elon Musk, so TMZ obtained a video that we published this morning of Elon Musk. It's a Zoom call in which he's speaking to employees. Elon Musk has made a lot about, in his efforts to tiptoe into the waters of content moderation. What do we do? Is Twitter really going to be this just like, you know, area of excess where anybody can say anything?
It's the wild, wild west.
Which everybody thought was what he was planning to do. He quickly pulled back on that. You can't have a platform where that kind of thing happens. It'll become unsustainable,
yeah,
and it will turn everybody off.
And it's financially risky.
And it's financially risky, and advertisers won't play a part, that sure. whole thing. Right. So he says, in order to quell kind of these concerns, says, I'm going to start up this content moderation council, and they will have authority over what can and cannot be posted. And when there's a suspect post or a controversial post, they'll take a look at it. And based upon the guidelines that we've set out, they will make a determination. Not so much. In this video that we got, he is speaking to his employees and he's saying, sure, there's a content moderation council, but do not be fooled. At the end of the day, I make the decision alone.
Yeah.
The Content Moderation Council is just simply there. They can guide me. They can give me advice, but yeah. I make the decisions.
Doesn't have to listen to them.
Right.
And of course, he owns it outright. He can do whatever he wants.
So that's the question.
But it seems he cannot be happy this video's out.
Right.
Because so many people, and people are, I know that people are saying like engagement with Twitter's up right now because people want to see, you know, watch it burn down.
Yeah.
But people are leaving. Lots of people are leaving Twitter. And advertisers are fleeing it. So a lot of it's because people think Elon is just going to let it become whatever. So he puts this sort of Band-Aid on it saying, yeah, I'm going to have this council. Like, you think there's going to be, okay, some kind of, you know, multi-voiced council deciding.
So it's like
deciding.
A reasonable place, right?
Yeah.
With reasonable decision
makers.
Okay,
well, there's going to be some oversight.
Right.
And then he just goes and says, nah, no, not really.
It's really remarkable. You remember Mark Zuckerberg set up a similar council because he wanted to sort of set it up as this body that could stand by itself. So if you have criticism for any content, it's not me, Mark Zuckerberg. It's not even the company Twitter. We have this independent council that makes these decisions based on criteria that are very public facing.
Yeah.
So we're all doing it. And so Elon Musk sort of tries to assume that same kind of thing, but immediately, like, kicks himself right in the nuts because he says, well, you know, in a public video. Now,
I'm not really going to have to listen to him if I don't want to.
Right, exactly. Not even, I mean, he even comes out and says, he even says to them something to the effect of, let's not be fooled.
Yeah.
We're not paying attention to that. If I don't like, I'm the decision maker, and I appoint these people to the council, which is something else he says.
Yeah.
He says, I'm the one that appoints them. I'm the one that's going to tell them what to do, and I'm the final decision maker here. On the one hand, he's clearly a hypocrite and he's getting caught with the pants down a little bit. On the other hand, it's his company. He's the one that ponied up $44 billion for it.
And
it's not a public company. He doesn't sell shares. He doesn't answer to anybody. This is his right.
And this is not his persona.
Yes,
he is
right.
Not the, let me sit down and, you know, listen. He got where he is by making bold decisions and bold moves, and that's worked for him very well in life. So why would he doubt that? That's a thing with a lot of CEOs is they're like, my way is the right way.
Right.
And when they become successful enough, no one can tell them no.
That's right.
So why would they listen to anybody?
But it goes back to the point that you made at the beginning, which is the fact that this is out can't be good news for him because he's having such a tough time courting advertisers. And
yeah.
I think this whole thing with this Content Moderation Council was an effort to bring those advertisers back in the fold and say there's going to be reasonable oversight to this thing. And now we know that's just not true. And
yeah.
It's just Elon Musk's vehicle for Elon Musk and his arrogance
and
knows no bounds.
This is anecdotal, but so much of my feed now has become people telling you where to follow them on other platforms.
Oh, interesting.
And they're like, oh, go to Hive, go to Mastodon, go to this, go to that. And they're showing their accounts and how to find them and how to follow each other.
Yeah.
And presumably if those things get up and running, they will delete their Twitter accounts.
So it's really interesting. So we've got the other players, Truth Social and some others, and Parler, right? That I think that's Parler. That's another one. And there's these other sites. None of them have any traction at all. None of them have nearly the user base Twitter does because Twitter is really unique. People hate it, but they can't stay away from it.
And Twitter wasn't like Truth Social is a very specific. It's Donald Trump's platform.
That's
you
right.
know what that is, and if you're not interested in that, you're not going to go there. Twitter, for all of its, you know, insanity. It is for anybody.
Right.
And
it's a public square for everybody. And
Truth Social was not. Parler is not. I don't know about... I think Mastodon's pretty liberal, so a lot of people are not going to go to that.
Got it. So there still is an opportunity for Twitter. I can't help think but that Elon Musk is going to have to sell it, though,
probably,
to get its credibility back. And it's still insanely valuable. That brand name alone, putting aside profitability, putting aside any of that, the brand name alone is worth tens of billions of dollars. I don't think it's worth the 44, and Forbes has come out and said it's not worth nearly the 44 million that Elon Musk paid for it, but it's worth tens of billions of dollars. He could flip it, lick his wounds, but that's not who he is, right?
No,
he has that Trump-esque kind of like, I will never admit defeat.
He's kind of firing everybody up, and maybe this is helping with the engagement, but he's such a troll at heart. So when people are coming to him with legitimate issues, he responds as a troll.
Right.
And it's kind of funny for a while, But that will get, like with Donald Trump, it gets tiresome and gets old and people move on.
Yeah, and engagement is great. It's good that for him that that engagement is up and that the number of users are up. Unless you can monetize them, it doesn't mean anything. You're just speaking into a you're speaking to a lot of people who are not paying you any money for it.
And that surge right now is a blip that's not sustainable.
Right, right, right.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Sticking with the idea of cancel culture, are Todd and Julie Chrisley totally canceled now?
Yeah, partly by the government. Chrisley Knows Best is done. The shows are canceled, which of course they are because the stars are going to prison.
Yeah.
Sentencing came in for Todd and Julie Chrisley in their tax evasion and fraud case. He is going to be doing 12 years in prison. She is doing 7. That's a lot. But you're the lawyer here, so
that is a lot of time.
He was found guilty of defrauding a bank to get loans for millions of dollars, and then not reporting that income.
That's
correct?
Right. So he was the allegations were that he made false statements to a bank in order to obtain loans based on false financial documents.
So fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. Right. It's actually exactly what the Trump organization is accused of doing.
Exactly.
But it's interesting in the parallel. It's exactly what you're at the one hand claiming that you have a ton of money to obtain loans and collateral to obtain loans. On the other hand, saying to the government that you don't have this money in order to avoid paying taxes.
Right.
So, and this happens all the time, right? You're saying one thing to somebody in the government. When they find out about this, you're clearly engaged in tax evasion, right? You're clearly hiding assets that you have in order to get these loans.
Why do people do this?
Oh.
You know, going back to Al Capone, we know this. Anybody that seems untouchable, this is what always gets them. You can do a lot of things, but you can't take money from the government. They will get you.
I think if Todd and Julie listen to this, they're delighted because we've now mentioned them in the light of Al Capone, Donald Trump, and Todd and Julie Chrisley.
Right.
It's 12 years is a long time for tax evasion, by the way.
Is that a long
sentence? It's a huge sentence.
Is it because it's also the bank fraud? Is it the kind of the combining of the things?
It's the crimes are particularly egregious. The amount of money at stake was particularly large, and they were particularly cavalier with the entire enterprise. There was no effort or no ability on their part to sort of say, look, we made a mistake. We didn't know that we were overvaluing and undervaluing. They were caught red-handed with this. The feds knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew what they were doing.
They went on with another season of their reality show.
I know. It's
that,
great.
That, when you're the government, and you say, like, not seeming contrite about what you've done, we got to keep filming our show during house arrest.
Right. Although you got to make money somehow. But they did it. They actually featured their house arrest as a threat of the last season of the show or last season and a half of the show. And you can't help avoid it. And if I'm them, I'm like, well, I need to pay something. I mean, they have kids. They want to take care of them. The whole thing is bananas, though. I mean, this is two people who came from very little, made a lot of money, and then squandered it, and then some.
It is a spectacular rise and fall there. Do you think they'll serve the whole time?
Federal prison, you're going to serve the whole time.
Oof,
100% time.
That's rough.
Take it away with the Power Rangers star, if you would.
Oh, this is very sad. Jason David Frank, the Green Power Ranger, a lot of people are very upset about this, grew up with that, committed suicide at the age of 49, and now we know that he did this after an argument with his estranged wife, Tammy. They were going through a divorce.
There's not much more to the story here. What's remarkable to people of my age, and I know Harvey, who's a lot older than me, reacts to this, stunned with the traffic that the story has received, the engagement that it's received. It's hard to imagine how big the Power Rangers were unless you grew up with them around you.
To that point, you know, obviously Harvey didn't grow up with the Power Rangers,
but
he's heard of them.
Yes.
When something like that, you know, like I don't have children, but I know what Peppa Pig is.
Right.
Because certain things get so big, everybody knows what they are, whether you watch it or not, or have any engagement with it.
Right.
But, the Power Rangers, like, it's, you know, and I'm a nerd. I was not a Power Rangers guy. I was a little too old for that. But But I know, like, I have my social media is a lot of nerds, uh-huh. and I saw like a lot of people very, very devastated by this.
Yeah, it really is. You know, we obviously see a lot of death here at TMZ, and it is fascinating to watch the engagement depending on who it is who's died. And when you see somebody like this, who I personally was not familiar with, I certainly knew of the Power Rangers. I know what's the guy who became like a $750 million, he invented the Power Rangers,
Haim
Saban.
Yeah.
Saban became one of the most powerful people in Hollywood based first on the Power Rangers. He invented the Power Rangers, he created them, and he became, and now I think he's a billionaire because he's gone on and parlayed his money into many, many other things. But it's remarkable how big they were. And you know, his death, it affects people, and it's remarkable the engagement we've had to the story.
Especially these circumstances. Now, he had four children.
Yes.
You know, he 49, yes. He was not that old. It's just sad. It's a sad story. And for somebody who, not just that you loved as a child, but was a hero to you.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And I think that we're seeing that played out in the number of people who are identifying with the story and commenting on it and the whole thing. Last thing I'm going to talk about, Eric, I know you're not a huge sports guy, but the biggest sporting event in the world, by far, the bigger than the Olympics by a million miles, is the World Cup every 4 years. Everybody in the world is a Lionel Messi fan, rooting for him. It's his it's a swan song at the World Cup. He's mid-30s, 36 years old or something like that. Still arguably one of the top two or three greatest players in the world. His beloved Argentina, the team he's played for, the only trophy he's never won, never really come close to, is the World Cup. And they lost to Saudi Arabia. It is, people have said, the biggest upset in the history of sport.
No, happened today. Come on.
That has been said today.
What about the Miracle on Ice, the hockey
the
game?
Miracle
at the
on Ice
Olympics.
Is big. That's big.
That's second.
That's
now.
Big. Well, that was, yeah, fair enough. They've been they've been beaten by the Saudis. It's a remarkable upset. If you follow football at all, soccer at all, you realize that Saudi Arabia is, that there are certain teams from every continent that are allowed to join, are invited to the World Cup. That's how the U.S. makes it over some European teams that we probably couldn't beat, because we're in the North American, South American pool, and then you have teams from the Middle East, and there are two or three teams from the Middle East, and they have no real soccer traditions. They are largely defeated in the group stages. Saudi beating the world powerhouse Argentina, one of the top five teams in the world year in and year out, and defeating Lionel Messi. Now, it's not an automatic elimination. They have their work to do. You have to play three games in group stage. They probably have to win both of their second and third games in order to advance to the knockout stage. But nevertheless, in the world of sport, certainly in the world of soccer, this is as big as it gets.
I don't follow it, but even I knew like Argentina was favored.
Yes.
Like everyone's like, well, they're gonna win. And then to be knocked out.
Yeah.
For the Saudi Arabian team, when Disney makes a movie of this someday.
Yeah.
It's kind of problematic too, everything in Qatar and all the issues. How are they gonna do that someday?
Yeah, I don't think they're gonna
we don't see that movie.
Right.
I don't know.
By the way, if you ever want some real fun, go talk to Harvey's assistant Gio, who, as you know, is born and raised in Italy.
Yeah.
Because Italy didn't even make the World Cup field for the second time in a row, which is the great national embarrassment. So just ask him, say, hey, heard Messi lost. It's crazy, he's a huge story. He'll engage you and say, how's Italy doing? And just to see his face drop.
Just to set him up, just to shut him down.
I do it all the time.
You're an awful person.
I know. All right, guys, thanks very much. See you tomorrow.